When I was a kid, I wondered when my parents would take me to Good Friday services, I wondered why it was called Good Friday. And I didn't really ever understand that. I thought maybe it was because it was a good thing that we got out of school that day, and perhaps that's why they called it Good Friday. But then I began to learn more about what Good Friday was all about, and realized that the reason why we call it Good Friday is because of what Jesus accomplished for the world by his death on the cross. Then I began to think about, why did God have to come to this world in the form of a human being? Why did God have to send his Son down to this earth? Why did he have to become a human being? Why did he have to leave the glory that he had from all eternity with his Father to come down to this earth and to take upon him our human nature? Why did Jesus, who was the very Son of God, have to humble himself to become a man? And then I began to wonder, well, why did then Jesus have to live on this earth, having to go through all of the things that we have to go through in our lives? Why did he have to face temptation? Why did he have to face times of suffering? Why did he have to face betrayal? Why did he have to face times of loss? Why did he have to experience all of the emotions that you and I experience? Why did Jesus have to go through all of those things? And then I wondered, why did Jesus then have to be arrested wrongfully and accused of things that would ultimately result in a death sentence? And why did Jesus then have to suffer as people mocked him, as they plaited a crown of thorns and jammed that down on his skull? Why did he have to suffer as they beat him with rods and then with whips that ripped his skin open? And then why did he have to carry a 125-pound crossbar toward the place of his crucifixion? And then once he was at Mount Calvary, why did he then have to be nailed in his hands and his feet to that cross? Why did he have to then be lifted up on that cross to suffer a slow, agonizing death over a 3-hour period? And then why did he have to have the sins of the world laid on him? The sins that you and I commit, the sins that everyone else in the world, past, present, and future, have and will commit. Why were all of those sins laid upon Christ? And then why did he have to feel that agony of feeling like he had been abandoned by his Father, causing him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did Jesus have to go through all of that? He had to go through all of that in order to show us how much God loves us. He went through all of that to show us how much he loves us. He went through all of that to show us that God did not want to leave us separated from him because of our sins. He wanted to show us that he wanted to make a way for us to have a relationship with the God who originally created us for that purpose. And when Jesus had finished everything that he had set out to accomplish, he cried out from the cross, "It is finished." Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, paid the ultimate price so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we might be able to have a relationship with God, so that one day we could go to heaven where Christ has prepared a place for us. So as I think back on why God sent his Son into this world, why did God become a human being? I realize it was because he loves me so much and he loves you so much. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, and that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus wants each one of us to be his friend. And the way we become his friend is by acknowledging our need of him. Acknowledging that we are separated from God because of the wrong things we have done. We're separated from God because of our sins. And the only way that we can be reconciled to God is through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And as we turn away from everything that we know is wrong, and we turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to come into our lives, he promises to do that by his Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit then begins to change us from the inside out. And he begins to give us a new life and a new direction and purpose. And from that moment on, we have a new reason to live. And that is, we're living no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again for us. And as we give our lives to Christ, then we can know that we have eternal life. We can know that our sins are forgiven. And we can know the love of God, because the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Now, there may be some here tonight who never really thought of all this in that way. And you've never really taken that step of faith to invite Christ into your life. Would you invite him to come in tonight to be your Savior and Lord? Would you ask him to give you that new life he promised? Would you take that step of faith this evening? Most of us here have already taken that step of faith. We have an opportunity this night to reflect again upon the great sacrifice that God has made for us in Jesus Christ, and to again remind ourselves of the depths that God has gone to show us his love. When we come to receive communion tonight, we are receiving again a sign of God's love for us in the body and blood of Christ, that body broken for us and that blood shed for us. And as we receive it again, we can be reminded that we have this new life in Christ because of his great love for us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen not to leave us here to fend for ourselves on this earth, but you have come to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you have reminded us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to you except through him. Would you give us grace not only to make him our Savior and Lord tonight, but to continue to walk in the light of his love? We ask this in his name. Amen.